Hello, and welcome to my podcast, Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared. Today's topic is armed deacons strapped in the church. To our listeners, I'm going to refresh your memory with a few specific incidents that have occurred over the past few years as we get started on today's topic. First one is at the Tree of Life Synagogue attack in Pittsburgh, PA in October 2018, a gunman opened fire and killed 11 people and wounded 6, including 4 police officers. At the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina, in June of 2015, a gunman deceitfully attended the Bible study before he opened fire, killing 9 people and wounding 3 others. At First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, a gunman walked in and callously and deliberately killed 26 people and physically wounded several others. This act was so heinous that the state of Texas made changes to and clarified the laws so that licensed handgun owners are now allowed to legally carry their weapons into churches, synagogues, and other houses of worship. Fortunately, that change in the law allowed for the volunteer church security team in White Settlement, Texas, to quickly respond to the shots fired when a gunman came in, sat down as part of the congregation, and then stood up and opened fire on a clergyman and one other. That church security team eliminated the threat. Unfortunately, 2 people died, and our hearts and prayers are with those families as well as the other families involved in those church shootings. But that church appeared to be pretty full that morning, and how many additional lives may have been lost if not for the change in the law and the volunteer church security team who acted swiftly and effectively. So again, our topic today is armed deacons strapped in the church, and our guest speaker is Dan Spencer. Dan is a 2003 graduate of the Philadelphia Biblical University with a bachelor's degree in science of the Bible and Christian leadership. He also has an associate's degree in criminal justice from Rowan College at Gloucester County. He has served on active and reserve duty in the U.S. Army and Army Reserve a total of 25 years. He operated and repaired communications equipment and later became a drill instructor, a first sergeant, and an operations master sergeant. He retired from the United States Army Reserve in 2006 as a first sergeant. He is also a retired New Jersey State Trooper. He served for a total of 28 years as such, and he's been a member of a South Jersey church since 1994. He was ordained in 2013, and currently he is a director and teacher with the youth ministry and also a teacher in the discipleship training program. He is a chaplain at Salem County Correctional Facility in Woodstown, New Jersey, an armed school safety officer at Cumberland County Technical and Vocational School in Vineland, and a real estate agent with Keller Williams in Washington Township, New Jersey. In addition to all of this, he enjoys the business of professional DJing and photography, which were once his hobbies. And most importantly, he is a Christian, a husband, and father of 2 children. He is passionate about his work and seeks to inspire young people to love the Lord, be respectful, and pursue their dreams and passions. So, Dan, welcome. Thank you for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Bianca. I appreciate you for having me on this evening.
Good, good, good. So, let's get started. In order to get to know especially our clergy that do the podcast with us, in order to get to know them better, I like to ask you to share with us one of your favorite biblical verses.
Okay, one of my favorite verses is Proverbs 3:5-6. And it says this: trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That has been my favorite for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a favorite for a lot of people, so that's a good one, definitely. Okay, so you're also a retired New Jersey State Trooper. So can you tell us about the requirements to be able to continue to carry a weapon beyond retirement?
Well, as a retired law enforcement officer, one of the things that you have to do is qualify, just as you would on a annual basis in the police force. So you have to qualify with a qualified range instructor. You have to shoot a day and a night course. You also have to abide by NJSA 2C 3-1, which deals with deadly force and the use of weapons, as a, because you're in a different capacity as a retired police officer, more so for self-protection and protection of those around you.
Okay. So you say NJSA as if everyone knows what that means.
Oh.
So it's New Jersey Statutes Annotated, right?
That's correct. New Jersey Statute Annotated. That's correct.
And what's the rest of it so they can refer to it?
It is 2C:3-1.
Okay.
And it
so
outlines,
can...
yes.
No, go ahead.
Oh, and outlines the deadly force and how force can be applied and the parameters of using deadly force.
Okay. And so this is a requirement just for retired state troopers, or this is the requirement for anybody who's trying to get a gun permit?
That would be specifically the law enforcement personnel. Whether that's corrections or anyone that is certified by the police commission to be able to carry or carry during their time. And you also have to have 15 years of law enforcement experience.
Okay. So if, I'm sorry, I just, if you were a law enforcement officer and you only had 10 years of experience, then it wouldn't be likely that you would be able to carry if you, for whatever reason, retired before then?
Not that I know of. Not that I know of. I think it's you have to have at least 15 years.
Okay. Okay. So the requirements are a little stringent, even though you've already served your time as a law enforcement officer.
Yes.
So that's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, our podcast is titled Armed Deacons Strapped in the Church. And this is part one of a series. So just can you give me what your thoughts are on whether church clergy should be armed and why?
Well, it's I believe I would say yes. I mean, we see the situation down in Texas where the volunteers took out the shooter very quickly before anyone else got hurt or killed, even though there was a fatalities in that circumstance. The double-edged sword to this is that you have personnel in Texas is a different story because Jersey, it's very hard to be able to carry as a civilian. Matter of fact, it's almost impossible. So
right.
In Jersey, you would have had to have been a police officer and would have had to have the experience and everything. But I think that in church security, I think that it's important, yes, that we do carry because of the climate and to feel safe in the place of worship.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so most people who live in New Jersey know and understand that New Jersey has very restrictive gun laws, and some respect that, some are not so keen on that idea, but how is it that a New Jersey church is able to have armed deacons? Because you said that most civilians can't or aren't likely to get a permit to carry. So is there
right.
a special waiver that they rely on for, or just law enforcement personnel?
Well, in certain, the laws of New Jersey are really, and I was speaking to someone from New Jersey State Police that was active, mm-hmm. so I made sure I was on with the information that I'm putting out. But business owners in special circumstances may be able to get a permit to carry. However, in the case of a church, that is, I guess, somewhat of a gray area because would the pastor be considered an owner of the business or an owner of the church? Well, that you would really have to have a letter of need, and that's mm-hmm. with any civilian that would apply for a permit to carry. They would have to have a letter of need. So most likely, when you're talking about security in a church, it would probably be a hired company, or either it would be retired law enforcement or corrections officers that have RPO or retired police officers under HR 218, the right to carry.
Mm-hmm.
So,
HR 218. You give
yeah,
me numbers.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. We appreciate it, though. We don't know what you're talking about, but we appreciate it.
I'm sorry, I'm former military and state police. So we, you know, you talk, get used to talking in terms of acronyms.
Yes.
House of Representatives bills, right.
Okay, that's okay. It's just as long as you explain it to us so that we know and understand what you're talking about, that's fine. I appreciate that. And we are going to have to take a quick break. But to our listeners, please stay tuned as we have more valuable information from our guest speaker, Dan Spencer. Stay tuned, guys. Hello, I'm Leon Quay-Chavette, publisher, corporate trainer, speaker, and author of We Made Plans, a fictional novel which debuted as number 3 on Amazon's Hot New Releases. This amazing story chronicles the lives of a group of longtime friends who were in the midst of living their best lives when they experienced a devastating, trajectory-altering event, hashtag the event. My podcast, Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared, will explore 4 different weekly categories with topics ranging from unconventional self-defense to active shooter profiles. I bring it all together in highlighting passages and concepts from my novel as it relates to real-life experiences. You don't want to miss out on these critical preparatory shows. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. for Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared podcast with your host, Leon Quay-Chavette. Okay, so we are back with our guest speaker, Dan Spencer, retired law enforcement officer. Dan, thank you again so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks. We're going to continue. So again, our topic is armed deacons strapped in the church, which refers to carrying firearms in a house of worship. So my question for you is the concept of having armed personnel in the church for protection a contradiction to the fundamental concept of having unwavering faith and trust in God that you'll be okay?
No, I don't think so, because God has given us the authority to be able to protect. Romans chapter 13, it says this, if I could just read just a small
mm-hmm.
portion of
Go
it.
Ahead.
And it says this, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For the rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. So basically, you know, God has given the government itself is a form of God's arm in protecting us, no matter what our opinions of the government is. But I think that no, I don't think that is a contradiction. I think that as long as we're conducting ourselves in law and order, I don't think there is any contradiction in that.
Mm-hmm. That's a great answer. And that was Romans 13. And what verse was it, or verses?
That was Romans chapter 13, verses. Well, you could probably go all the way to verse number 7, even though I didn't read all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, verse
so
number 7 ends
seven.
Up on yes, 1 through 7 actually ends up on taxes, but that's another story.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about taxes, especially in New Jersey. We do not want to talk about taxes. But, okay, but no, that was a great answer. Thank you. Thank you for that, because I'm pretty sure that that's a debate that, you know, should you...
Sure.
be concerned about having guns in the church as opposed to just having that faith that, you know, that you're going to be protected and everything's going to be okay. So I like that answer. So thank you.
Sure.
So in general, just do you think a church's congregation should know in advance about whether the deacons are armed?
Well, in our particular church, we have armed security and the personnel are in uniform. So it's clearly seen in our church and, you know, they're identifiable. So that's not an issue in our church. However, if you have a deacon that is or whomever in the church, most likely in Jersey, they're going to be law enforcement. I guess that can work in two ways. If, for example, in a hypothetical situation, the shooter is someone that is familiar with the personnel in the church, then they could possibly be a target. So
right.
in that case, that it could be a problem. But generally, I think that is good to let people know what the situation is so that they understand. And see, that would come with training. So I think that if you're going to train the congregation or give them some type of instruction, that is good to identify and know who is who.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that goes to my next question about whether you think any kind of education or training should be provided to the congregation, and not just with regard to identifying, who the personnel are or something like that, but just in how to respond. Because when you look at the video of the shooting in White Settlement, Texas, I forget the exact name of the church, but the city was called White Settlement in Texas, right. And you saw that it didn't look like those people were armed. I believe they were a volunteer church security team, and I think they were just in regular clothing. And while we from the outside may not have known who was who, I'm wondering if the people in the church knew that and knew that they had their weapons and were going to do something. So I'm concerned about what your thoughts are with how the congregation should be trained for an active shooter response situation.
Again, that's very important, the training, the word that you brought up, because training is key. If someone's not trained, they're going to react. They're going to panic, basically. Mm-hmm. They're going to panic because it's not a natural situation to be in there. But I would say that it really needs to be discussed among the leadership of the church and to determine, mm-hmm. because some churches are so small that, things like that can be really hashed out easily. In the case of my church, it's a very, very, very large congregation. So it would take a little more coordination of effort. But I think that the most important thing is to sit down in the leadership, first of all, talk it out, and then coordination with other departments, and just to understand, like for your particular church, how would this work? And how would it be employed? Because each church is a little bit different in how they would handle it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, but regardless of the size of your church, I definitely think that it's something that should be addressed. So, for the smaller churches, it may be done a little bit differently. But again, you said that it should be discussed with leadership. And I just think that if it's not something that, if you belong to a smaller church and if it's not something that's being addressed, that it should be, that somebody should take the lead and speak to leadership about, what we would do, God forbid, obviously, if that situation ever occurred.
Yes.
So my next question is about for New Jersey, we have listeners from a few different states, but for New Jersey, because we live in New Jersey. And then I'm going to point out that the other parts of the series address churches in different states. So this part one is for New Jersey primarily, but we are going to address other states and have some of the similar questions. But for New Jersey, it's already been stated several times that we have restrictive gun laws, right down to how you can transport your weapon from home to a gun range and those few exceptions of who can carry firearms on their person. So the Texas governor was instrumental in having the law changed so that members of churches who were already licensed to carry could also be armed in the church. Do you think that is something that all states should seek to accomplish?
Well,
to change the law?
It's, again, that could be a double-edged sword too, because again, you have if you have the proper training, I think yes, but if without the proper training, no. As a police officer, we have to qualify generally two times a year, and as a police officer that's retired, we have to qualify two times a year, and then we go through additional training even at the school where I am, so. Circumstances that require a civilian to be able to react, it's not just about shooting. It's a whole different reaction that counts in the situation. And so,
right.
It could be, like I said, it can go either way. But as far as civilians, I remember one time they were talking about even arming teachers in schools.
Yeah, and, I remember hearing about that.
Right, right. So I don't think that's a, I don't think that's a, such a good idea if you don't have the training and experience.
Yeah. Well, for me, I didn't like the concept of having the teachers armed in school because I felt like there was too much of a risk for someone to disarm the teacher and then
right.
use it against them. In the church, I mean, I guess if you are, because in Texas, they said anyone who is a licensed gun owner, and I'm not mm-hmm. sure what their training requirements are, but
right.
In New Jersey, if you have your permit, are you not required to have certain training? You know, like
oh, sure.
gun range or whatever. Are you required
yes.
to have that kind of training?
Yes, you are. Yes, you just don't get a permit and then, you know, say you carry. Yes, you are required to maintain a maintain training.
Okay.
So it's, again, but, you know, beyond that, you know, if that's the only time that a person trains or only time that a person shoots at a range, as a police officers have used their weapon and have hit innocent people not intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I can't imagine how that would work with a person that doesn't have that level of experience and just,
mm-hmm.
you know, going to a range, because it's a lot different shooting at a target than shooting at someone in real life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Probably because there's more movement involved as opposed
yes.
to just standing still at the
yes.
at the gun range. So I completely understand that. So, okay. So I did hear something about I read something from, I think it was Insider New Jersey, that there are three assemblymen who are interested in sponsoring legislation to allow members of religious congregations to carry weapons. Now, they said this was reported from NJTV, and I tried to find it on the New Jersey legislature website, but I didn't find anything yet. I don't mm-hmm. think that's going to be – I don't know how well that'll do in New Jersey. I appreciate that they're trying to do it because of what happened in Texas, but probably
right.
for the reasons that you just explained, it may not go over well because, I mean, for the same thing you're saying, any licensed gun owner can
mm-hmm.
you know take it into church, and then you know you don't know what kind of malintent somebody may have. So yeah, I think that could be a problem in New Jersey, but I am going to keep following it, especially as we're doing the additional parts of the series, to see if there's anything that actually comes of it. So I'll keep everybody posted on that.
And also to your point with what you said earlier about someone being disarmed in the classroom, the same
mm-hmm.
thing can easily happen in a church situation. And I guess that goes back to one of the previous questions that he asked before, knowing who is who in the church as far as identifying the people that are carrying, and knowing that ahead of time
mm-hmm.
and training would help make a situation go smoother, and just knowing, you know, may prevent casualties,
right.
mass casualties.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so we have to take another break. So again, I ask our listeners to please stay tuned. We have more valuable insight and information from our guest speaker, Dan Spencer.
Statistics show that the most important asset as a successful business owner will be the relationships you build along the way. The Elite Conversations business community of seasoned and successful business owners and professionals will provide you a network of people with knowledge, resources, and the connections that can help take your business to the next level. Don't fall into the trap of frustration that results from being isolated and trying to figure things out on your own. Sign up for membership today and get connected with an awesome group of business owners, entrepreneurs, professionals, and influencers. To learn more about the great benefits of being a part of the Elite Conversations business community, call 301-257-5792.
Okay, so we are back with our guest speaker, Dan Spencer, discussing armed deacons strapped in the church And again, Dan, I want to thank you for joining us. I truly appreciate this, as I'm sure our listeners do as well. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, so just to go over, because usually we discuss a portion of the book that I wrote. It's called We Made Plans. And by now, most people know that there was an active shooter event. And I'm not spoiling it for anybody because we told them in advance. But there's an active shooter event that very well could have occurred in the church. I have not told the listeners or the readers where it took place, but it could have occurred in a church. And as a few of the characters in the book were active in their churches. So one of the characters admitted to not having a clue as to what to do when the realization that a shooting was happening actually sunk in. And I guess we may have addressed this a little bit, but for members who don't receive active shooter response training through their place of employment or through schools for, you know, for younger people, do you think it would be beneficial to them to offer some form of education and training in houses of worship?
Oh, yes, definitely. Our church, and, you know, it's unfortunately, it's a reality that we see all too often. And and by the way, I didn't get to read all of your book, but I did read a couple chapters of your book, and it was very, very good and very descriptive in the reactions and the feelings. I've been in that situation,
okay,
not in a real active shooter, but I've been in simulated situations, and you'll be surprised what it feels like. And so I think that it's important that churches would maybe on a Saturday afternoon or take some time and just brief the congregations on the what to do in a case of an active shooter, because many people don't think about it. And what happens if you don't plan, you will panic.
Right.
It's already a hostile and crazy situation, but it will be even worse if you don't have any plans.
Exactly. Yeah, I like the idea of a Saturday afternoon taking the time to go over, you know, because we're trained or we're taught that to understand that it's not going to unravel or evolve the same each time. But, you know, to just to have some type of plan in your mind of what you can do to be aware of exits, to be aware and have an exit strategy and things like that. So
yes,
that's definitely important.
Yes.
And, you know, the main thing is that you have a group of people that either are done, are retired, or have been in situations where they don't receive that training at work, or they're not in school and they don't get that additional training and they have no clue. So I think
right.
it would definitely be beneficial if they could get it in some other form. And if they're a regular at church, then, or even if they're not, but, you know, just to have that opportunity to get the training to figure out what to do, and then you can use it wherever you are. Make sure that you stay safe.
Right.
So.
Even in some situations, just the simple getting down and getting flat on the floor can be a great help, or it can be, you know, may something that may save your life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where you have some people that may be elderly in the congregation that would not be able to move as maybe some
right.
of the younger people may.
Something
as simple as that could be something that could save their life.
Right. Recognizing what their limitations are. I mean,
right.
Some people just don't run. Some people may be, you know, in a wheelchair, or just not have the ability to pick up and run or to move at all. So, yeah, trying to get them to understand what they need to do to survive, even if that is laying flat out, like you said, but hiding.
Right.
So
all
of that is important.
Right.
So I'm hoping that, you know, churches in general, if they haven't already started to work on that, that's something that they do to make sure that people are educated, because that's my whole thing. You need to know what to do, even if it doesn't happen exactly the way you think it will. You still need to have something
right.
in your mind and know that you need to handle your business, pretty much.
Yes. Definitely.
Okay, so now that you have this platform, this is a question that I ask all my podcasters, because I give them the platform. So is there anything you want to add to the benefit of our listeners now that you have the platform?
Sure. I think what's important is that the issue is addressed. and that it is a an issue that is not going to go away anytime soon. And I would rather have a plan and not use it than not have a plan at all and then be caught in a situation. So I would say definitely planning and definitely preparedness.
Right. I agree with that. I agree. So for those that are in the Jersey area, the Delaware Valley area, who may be interested in getting in touch with you, how can they do that?
I can be contacted at my email, and that's djd4hire, H-I-R-E, at AOL.com. That's djd4hire at AOL.com.
Okay, that's good. And you mentioned earlier offline that there was a website that you wanted to share in case people wanted information about the letter and some other information, the NJFT
right.
website?
Yes, the New Jersey State Police website, and the website is njsp.org. And on the New Jersey State Police website, there are various topics, but one of the areas that you can go to is firearms, and they have frequently asked questions under the firearms tab that you can go to.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go also to the Department of Homeland Security, and the website for that is www.dhs.gov/active-shooter-preparedness. I know it's kind of long, but on those sites, they give you a lot of information. And if you have any questions, again, about firearms and registration, and they talk about a variety of subjects that if you're looking to get armed security in your houses of worship, or they can help you out.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much. So again, Dan, I just thank you for the information that you provided. Thank you for joining me. And I'm hoping our listeners found this information valuable as well. I can't say that a church will be so open or should be, you know, that transparent about their security procedures. But I think, you know, in some ways, as a member of a church, that we are, and I say entitled in air quotes, but that we're entitled to know whether we have something in place, because it's just the peace of mind that comes with it. I think that education and training the congregation is important, definitely. I also think that states that have these excessively restrictive gun laws, that pretty much something has to give, because in my opinion, it's a matter of becoming victims, like the Sutherland Springs, Charleston, South Carolina, and Pittsburgh congregation, versus becoming victors like the church in White Settlement, Texas, because pretty much they had a change in the laws. I mean, if not for the change in that law, they could have been the same type of victims that we had in those other locations. So until that happens, particularly in New Jersey, we'll just keep relying on our retired law enforcement and personnel who can legally carry guns, and who are still willing to put their lives in a line to save the lives of others. And we sincerely thank those men and women for their extended service. And Dan, you're one of those people, and we appreciate it. If your church doesn't have a plan in place, then I say boldly take the lead to get that ball rolling. Like Dan said, you should have a discussion with leadership. Please do that to get that ball rolling. Remember, the podcast topic, Armed Deacons Trapped in the Church, is part one of a series. So check in on the eliteconversations.com website to see when the next series airs. You can also check it out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and Blog Talk Radio. That's what happens when you say it. And I wasn't even saying it fast. But Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and Blog Talk Radio. Additionally, my debut novel, We Made Plans, is available on Amazon.com. You can grab a copy of the book, and you can read all of the details there. you can also find it on my website at LaonqueChavette.com. That's LaonqueChavette.com. And so most importantly, guys, we make plans every day. And to see those plans through, we all, with regard to our personal safety, need to be safe, be vigilant, be prepared, and be blessed. Love you all, and thank you for listening.